if there is any verse in Scripture which appears to be outside the bounds of possibility, it comes in the passage we have just read from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. We read that Paul was writing to those who were sanctified by Jesus Christ. But in some of the other translations, the other versions of the Bible, it says very simply, the people who are called to be saints. Called to be saints. It's an impossibility, matched surely only by the instruction of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says to his hearers, be ye perfect. How would it be that we possibly could ever be perfect? How it could be possible ever to be saints? But this is what today is about, All Saints' Day. And we as Christians, not only summoned to be perfect, but also expected to be saints. It could be said, God surely has a sense of humor. What a joke. You and me, perfect. I, for one, am a long way off. Miracles, indeed, perhaps God can make all things. With God, all things are possible. But we'll come to that later. But today, as I say, is All Saints' Day. And we are, by this passage, encouraged to be saints, called to be saints. Today, we rightly recognize saints of old. And also, I suggest that we remember with gratitude all those who have been saints in our lives, to us and for us, at various ways and at various times. But like all days, they're not just days and opportunities for remembering, but rather, as we look back, so also we must look forward. Because of yesterday, what of today? And because of today, what of tomorrow? So this is Paul's command to the people of Corinth and to us, for we have read this open letter. And we are indeed like the good folk in the church at Corinth, called to be saints. Now for me, the word saint conjures up people like St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John, even Joan of Arc or Mother Teresa, whoever else you call to mind. But just think, all these folk began just as ordinary people. No one is born already a saint. Rather, they become saints through living their ordinary lives. Saint Paul himself is notable, from a sinner to a saint, from a persecutor to a preacher. The definition of a saint was once given by a little girl. She was in a church and she noticed the saints that were depicted in the stained glass windows of the church. And they were pretty dull and even difficult to make out until the sun shone. Now, she said, I see, saints are people who let the light shine through. People who let the light shine through. No doubt few, if any of us, will ever gain such a title officially as saint. But all of us can indeed live lives that let the light of God shine through. All of us can live lives that let the love of God show through. All of us can live lives that indeed reflect the love God has for all his people. Called to be saints, as Jesus said, be ye perfect. But this is the 21st century, and we live in a world of horror, corruption, persecution, and seemingly, as each day dawns, day by day getting worse. How can we be saints today? How can we let the light of God shine? How can we reflect the love of God? All things are possible through Christ. We know it. And yes, we would like to believe it. But when you read the news and watch the television, even the strongest hearts can waver and the most determined minds shake more than a little. But just think to when Paul's instructions were originally given and to whom. Paul was speaking to the people of Corinth. I make no apologies for the people of Corinth, because a worse bunch of people it would be hard to find. To call anyone a Corinthian was indeed an insult, and Corinth was the least desirable place to live. And when you read Paul's letter to this church at Corinth, you will realize that they caused him a headache, the biggest headache out of all the churches he set up and encouraged and to whom he wrote. The people of Corinth to be saints? Corinth, of all places. It was a joke, surely, but no, with God, all things are possible. Corinth was and is a seaport, a great meeting place of standards and cultures. It held a central position between East and West, a great commercial clearinghouse, a city of contrasts and comings and goings. Four nationalities meet at Corinth, four lots of cultures and customs, different from every direction. And worst of all, at that time, Corinth was the centre for the abominable worship of the goddess Aphrodite. Corinth, indeed, was far from a pleasant place, and the people in it far, indeed, from being anywhere near sainthood. Not only the city, but the so-called Christian church, it was breaking up into factions. Believe it or not, they were misusing the elements set aside for the Lord's Supper. They had exceedingly dubious lifestyles, even though they went to church. And anything else you'd like to throw at these good folk of Corinth, they were a million miles from sainthood. And yet here is Paul telling them they have to be saints. And let me say this, if it was possible for those people, then surely we here have a chance. Paul, or for a moment we call him his first given name, Saul, he knew what he was talking about, even from his own experience. He was going around and persecuting, and worse, the followers of Jesus. And those saints that I mentioned, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those disciples who all became saints, they were frightened men who ran away, who did not dare to be seen near Jesus. And yet they became brave and willing and ready to stand up in front of any crowd. And Saul, now Paul himself, standing up in front of howling mobs and professing allegiance to Jesus. Called to be saints is no joke. If it was possible for the people of Corinth, it is possible for the people of Carluke. Called to be saints by the power of God in the strength which he supplies, radiating his love through Jesus Christ. It's not a joke, because all things are possible with, in, and by, and because of Jesus. However, St. Paul was a practical man, as well as perhaps an idealist. And in this very letter to the Corinthian folk called to be saints, he tells them how. He doesn't just give them an ideal to aim for. He gives them the practical steps they need and we need too. First, he says to them, you need to know Jesus. Note the words, they need to know Jesus, not to know about Jesus. They need to know Jesus. A few years ago, if somebody asked you a question, you might have said, oh, I've got a book about that. Now, of course, if somebody asks you a question, you Google it. And maybe you do, and maybe you find some facts. But to know a person, to know Jesus, is not just facts, but more to recognize that person, even Jesus, and the relationship and the understanding you have Jesus and you. His thoughts, his actions, his reactions. Your thoughts, your actions, your reactions. To be a saint, you have to know Jesus, to be in a relationship with him. And how do you reach that point? To know anyone, to really know anyone, you have to talk to them. You have to listen to them. You have to spend time with them. Now today, however much talking and listening and texting goes on, probably it's a good thing for people to communicate with each other more and more. And it's a useful parallel for us too, when we communicate people with those dreaded mobile phones. I'm having a go today at all my horrors, aren't I? But we're all texting and mobile phoning one and another. At the moment, usually when you're sending a message or when you're speaking to somebody on your mobile phone, you can't see them. You don't know where they are when you're talking to them. Yet it seems to me half the world seems to be talking to the other half. So why is it such a problem to talk to God? Why should people find it so hard? Why are we so reluctant to talk to God? Why are we so reluctant to listen to God? As I said, it seems the whole world is talking to someone. Why don't we all talk and listen to God? Because when you talk and listen to God, that's when you become in a relationship with someone, a relationship with God. And read the Bible for instructions. It used to be the most bought book, and I'm sure you can read it on a Kindle or online today. Called to be saints. These are the practical ways you can meet one of the requirements. As someone said, external aids to strengthen our faith. You need to know Jesus. You need to have help to strengthen your faith through prayer, through talk, through reading, through spending time with God. And then because you know Jesus, and because you're in regular communication, your life is surely different. Your attitudes, your priorities, your interests, even your language. Those saints of old, the gospel writers, the missionaries, even those recognized today as saints, they did not go on in their old ways, doing the same old things, behaving in the same old ways. When they became in a relationship with God, when they spent time talking and listening with God, then their whole attitude and their whole life and living changed. So Paul is reminding these Corinthians, their calling is not to continue who and why and what and where they were, but indeed called to be saints, to live as new people. And of course, it's an ongoing process. As I said, no one is born a saint. A saint, the famous ones and the saints today began and begin as ordinary as the rest of us. And they learn the process as the years go by. They did not, and we do not, become saints by removing ourselves from real life, but rather from living every day in the real world. And yes, sometimes that makes it harder. But just think what the original saints had to suffer, and then don't bother complaining. The saints of old and the saints today are changed people, living in the light of God and the love of God, which then radiates from them. Notice too the exact words, we're called to be saints. Many years ago in a sermon, I remember somebody reminded us that while we are human beings rather than human doings, saying that who and what we are is just as important, if not more so, than indeed what we do. One last thing about saints. We, in our tradition, of course, pay tribute to the saints of old and honour the saints of whatever generation, those officially recognised as saints and the people we would class as saints. But we believe that they do not have a better or a closer relationship to God than anyone else. Or to put it more positively, all saints and sinners alike are loved by God. So we don't need to pray to St. Jude or St. Christopher or any of the others, because we have a direct line to God ourselves through Jesus Christ. The people of Corinth, the most unlikely people on the land, were called to be saints. So are you. You're called to be a saint to reflect the love of God, which you can only know when you are in communication with God, when you're in a relationship with God, when you spend time with God. The people of Corinth were called to be saints to reflect the light of God. And so are you. And you can know that light when you read about Jesus Christ, when you listen to his word, and when you commit yourself to follow in his footsteps, knowing all the time that he is with you. So today is All Saints' Day. We honour the old saints and we aspire to be like them. But best of all and most important of all, we are also called to be saints. It's not impossible, because with God all things are possible. And so today, let the light and the love of God, which you know, shine through as you live out your life today and in the days that follow. Why celebrate bad things yesterday when we can celebrate and live in the light and the love of God? Amen.